47-year-old Anthony Oliveri was riding his Harley-Davidson motorcycle down a busy street in Indiana when he was struck by another vehicle. Oliveri recounted the incident, and he said, "I remember it happened, and I didn't quite know what was going on, and for a split second, I looked around my left shoulder, and all I see is her tire and her left bumper getting ready to run my face over." Interestingly enough, both of these drivers, after the accident happened and were interviewed, they attributed the crash to the will of God, to God's will. However, the driver of the automobile who hit Oliveri didn't stop after she hit Oliveri. As a matter of fact, she was found miles away from the accident. The reason why? She said that God told her to let him take the wheel, that I got it from here, and then proceeded to then leave the scene of the accident. That's exactly what the police report says. By contrast, Oliveri recounted and said this, "I was inches away from the bumper, and I just said to myself, well, today's the day I'm going to die. I shut my eyes, and I said, Lord, if this is the way God, if God wants to do it this way, then I guess this is the way we're going to do it." One attempted to literally force God's hand to take the driving wheel, and don't let Jesus take the wheel literally, please. That's not what the song means. And the other recognized his leading and his guiding and said to himself, "Whatever it is you want here, whatever it is you want here." Today we're going to be talking about God's will, and I'm sure probably many of you may ask the question, how do I discover God's will for my life? Well, I can tell you this right now, that God's will for your life is not to leave the scene of an accident and to let Jesus take the wheel literally. And we all know that there's God's revealed will in his scripture, his moral will, his will that you and me are to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. We know that his will, as we go through the book of Acts, is for us to preach the gospel to a lost world. But what about his personal will for our lives? How do we discover that? And I'm sure you'd like me to give you three easy steps on discovering God's will. I'm sure you could probably find it on the internet. That's not what we're going to talk about today. But we are going to take something from that illustration, what that man said. It's a good start and it's a good finish. Whatever it is you want here, Lord. Whatever it is you want here. The key is that when you and I discover God's will for our life, our particular calling that God has in our life, you and I need the conviction and the determination to follow it no matter what. Amen? And that's the question that I'm going to ask each and every one of us here today. Are you or have you determined to do the will of the Lord for your life? The Apostle Paul was. No matter what the cost was, Paul knew that God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. Nothing was going to stop him. At this point in Paul's life, it takes on a ton of similarities to that of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can look it up and do the comparison between the lives of Jesus and the life of Paul. But especially, one of the similarities that we see here is his dogged determination to do the will of the Lord no matter what the cost. Like Jesus Christ, Paul set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. So the characteristics that we see in Paul are the characteristics that we see in Christ that are lived out in the life of Jesus. And those are the characteristics that we need to see in ourselves. An unswerving, unwavering, dogged determination to follow God's will for our life, his will that he has called upon you and me, no matter what the circumstances are and no matter what other people are saying around us. Paul remained resolved, and he's a wonderful example for each and every one of us. He absolutely wanted to see God's will through to the end. When faced with the pressures to change course, he would not be persuaded. Paul's will and God's will were intertwined, as it should be for you and me. He was surrendered to it. His prayer and his life was, "Thy will be done." We're going to look at three determinations today. Number one, we need to be determined to do God's will despite the counsel of others, verses 1-6. When we had parted from them and had set sail, we ran a course, straight course to Kos, and then the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found the ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we came in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we kept sailing to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there was a ship there to unload its cargo. After looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days. And during that time, they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. When our days were ended, we left and started on the journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us out of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and we returned home again. Just wanted to put a map up there so you see where Paul's at this point. From Kos to Rhodes to Patara, right-hand side of Cyprus, and then he lands in Tyre, where Paul is going there to actually do what he normally does, and he's going to encourage disciples, which is interesting because the disciples here, through the Holy Spirit, now discourage Paul from the course that he is on. Many of you might have heard the story of Brutschko. I think I've mentioned him before. Highly recommend this book. It's one of the greatest, I think, one of the greatest missionary stories of all time. I love this book. It's a very interesting and easy read. Brutschko was his Indian name. To others, he was Bruce Olson. Bruce Olson, around the age of 18 or 19, believed that God had called him to go into the jungles of South America to reach a tribe known as the Motolone Indians, to reach this very, very dangerous Stone Age Indian tribe. What do you think his parents thought of that idea when he found out? Well, his Lutheran parents were absolutely furious. They wanted him to have absolutely nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, they thought he was going to be a language professor. Like all good parents, they had his life mapped out for him, right? Now you're going to do this, you're going to do that. What do you think his pastor thought about it? His pastor thought he was absolutely crazy. So did other people in the church. As a matter of fact, he was untrained, uneducated, so when he went to different mission agencies, they too thought he was crazy. All of these people in this young man's life, and he had just recently, I think, become a Christian or become really committed in following the Lord, age of 18 or 19, were telling him, "You're crazy, you shouldn't do it." Can you imagine how difficult that would be? We're going to look at different pressures that Paul faces here in this passage to turn away from God's will. And suffering and death, yes, those are all pressures that are very, very difficult. This one is very subtly difficult, isn't it? It is the pressure that comes from other people who believe that God is telling them to tell this individual not to follow what this individual believes is God's will. It's a pressure not from the unbelieving world, but from a bunch of Christians who are gathered together, and they are telling Paul that God is telling them not to sit, that God is telling him not to set foot in Jerusalem. it's that phrase that through the Spirit that really gets people. So to this day, if you read commentaries on this passage, poor Paul, guess what? Many, many people think at this point he's being disobedient to God. I'll leave that up to you. You can look at the passage yourself and come to that conclusion. But they think at this point he's ruining his ministry. He doesn't need to go to Jerusalem. People are telling him exactly what is going to happen to him in Jerusalem, and it is going to ruin what he's doing right now. It was a distraction for him. Has to do with that phrase, through the Spirit. This is an interesting phrase. So there are what I believe two really good interpretations of this. I'm sure there's some other ones. I come to the conclusion that Paul was not being disobedient. I come to that conclusion because Paul is being led by the Spirit this entire time. Paul is very, very sensitive to God's Spirit. And that's a key point in all of our lives. God's calling and leading in your life is going to come out of a very vibrant, obedient relationship to Him. As you are obedient to the things that God has already revealed in your life, He is going to continue to reveal and to guide you and to lead you into that very, very specific calling that He has for you. Because I believe He has a very, very specific calling for each of us. This may not be like Bruchko. People are probably praying, I hope it's not like Bruchko. It may not be like Paul, but it's a calling. And Paul has been sensitive to that calling. Remember what he said previously? He's bound by the Spirit. He is so sensitive to God's Spirit in his life, and he is following God's Spirit. And here we see that it is these people who are saying through the Spirit. So that phrase is interesting. I think it can mean two things. Number one, this could be God actually testing Paul. And I think that's a pretty viable option. That when God calls us to do something, sometimes he sends tests to test our resolve to see if we're going to do it. Remember when he tested Abraham? He wanted to, and in doing so, it reveals something in our hearts that we're going to follow God no matter what. It's actually for us, these tests. The other interpretation is that they misinterpreted what the Holy Spirit is telling them. So later on, we're going to see Agabus tells Paul exactly what's going to happen. He doesn't say not to go to Jerusalem. These individuals most likely received information from the Holy Spirit, the same that Agabus did, and they took that to say, oh, we need to tell Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Regardless of the reason why, we know that this was a very extreme pressure on Paul. This is from people he doesn't know so well. Later on in this passage, Luke and the others are going to join in and they're going to beg him not to go to Jerusalem. Have you ever been in a situation where you believed God was calling you to do something or telling you to do something and other people were telling you not to do it? That's hard, isn't it? We have to be sensitive to God's leading in our life. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to, number one, follow God's revealed will for our life, which is in the Bible, and then follow what we believe he is calling us to do, despite what other people are saying around us. I remember when I was first saved and I felt the Lord calling me. I say felt. I don't like that word. I sensed God leading me to go to a Bible college, New England Bible College. And I remember there was this Christian who was a Christian much longer than I was, and she came up to me and she said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you, if you go to Bible college, you're going to die in your faith. I'm like, oh, okay. True story. And I had no idea what to do at that point. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, I believe God's called me to go to Bible college. Now, if I didn't go to Bible college, could you imagine the direction my life would have taken? I might not be here today. One of the applications that we need to see from this is, number one, we have to respect the convictions of other people, and we're going to see that again later on. And many, many times, God's going to lead us in our life, and it may not make sense to others. And I look at this in as parents too, right? Kids, you can't go home and say, God's telling me not to go to bed right now. I have to listen to him. God's revealed will for your life is that you obey your parents until you're out of the house, till you're 18, right? But if you were to ask me what I want for my daughter's life, I'll tell you hands down. I got it all mapped out. I got a great plan. But that's not God's plan, most likely. I can maybe think and, you know, talk to her about things and guide her those things. But ultimately, and this is one of the hardest parts, when people around us that we respect and love tell us something different than what we believe God is telling us to do, isn't that hard? What's our job? Who are you and I responsible to? Are you and I responsible to those people, or are you and I responsible to God? One of the keys here is at the end of this, and maybe they're on the beach praying, and they're praying out loud, and you know those prayers that people pray sometimes, and they're trying to teach you through their prayers. Lord, I pray for stubborn Paul. I just pray, Lord, that you just break his stubborn will. I know you're telling, right, you're praying, maybe they're, I don't know what they're praying for. Hopefully they saw Paul's persistence and determination and gave in like the others are going to, but it's a key to following God's will, isn't it? Prayer. We have to be praying. And we have to be praying that God's will is done in the lives of those around us, even when we think they might be making some mistakes. Because if those individuals are seeking God's will and you're seeking God's will, then I'd be pretty sure God's will is going to be done. Second, determination is we need to be determined when faced with suffering, verses 7 through 12. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemy, and after greeting the brethren, we stayed with them for a day. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the Evangelist, who were one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. And as we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. After coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands. And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we had heard this, we, as well as the local residents, so now Luke is included in this, began begging him not to go to Jerusalem. The pressure continues. Carolyn Ahrens is a Canadian Christian musician and author and speaker. And in an issue of Christianity Today magazine, she writes this. She said, years ago, I toured as an opening act for Rich Mullins. She said, I loved overhearing the conversations that he would have at the autograph table. They often turned very serious and urgent. She says, more than once, a fan would ask Rich how to discern the will of God for their life. And Rich would listen and then give an unexpected perspective. He'd say, I don't think finding God's plan is that complicated. Love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and then get busy with that stuff first. And then, he says, if God wants you to do something special and unusual, he'll take care of it. For example, if he wants you to go to Egypt, he paused for a moment and before flashing his trademark grin. He said, if that's the case, he'll provide 11 jealous brothers and they'll sell you into slavery. Mullins affirmed something that I was talking to the youth group about the other, remember youth group, we were talking just about this story the other week, that God's purpose in the life of Joseph, how God was going to accomplish what he wanted for Joseph was through what? A period of suffering. I mean, when we look at all the lives that are in Scripture, Many times you look at the life of David, we look at the life of Jeremiah, we look at the life of Ezekiel, we look at the life of Isaiah. God's purpose was accomplished through difficulty, through suffering. But that's an idea that you and I don't like at church, do we? This is the main reason that this group of individuals is trying to persuade Paul not to go because of the suffering. This can't be God's will because suffering. Which you would think at this point they would get the picture of how things God does things in life, right? Especially with Jesus Christ. We have this idea in life that the will of God is supposed to make us happy, healthy, wealthy, comfortable, whatever it may be. This can't be God's will if it's difficult, if it's hard, if it includes suffering. It is a problem in the American church. When things get hard, we think this can't be God's will for our life. But folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. God's will is not easy. And many, many, many times, God accomplishes his purposes in our life by sending us into difficult circumstances. I want you to go up to the previous verse right there about Philip the evangelist and his four daughters. Why does Luke include that in this passage? What does that have to do with what's going on with Paul? And Luke adds these details. But when you look at that, when you look at Philip the evangelist, who is one of the deacons, and you look at his four virgin daughters, and then you look at the Apostle Paul, all of these individuals are fulfilling God's particular calling for their life. And when you look at the daughters, they have sacrificed something for that calling. They've sacrificed marriage, haven't they? Is that easy for people to do? Not always. And that may be the life that God is calling you to. It might be calling you to a life of singleness. But here they are, they're fulfilling God's will for their life, and it is difficult. And the same with the Apostle Paul, and the same with us. I mean, like I say, when you look at the lives, like, you know, think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to preach to a people who weren't going to believe. Can you imagine? I would hate that. Mark, I want you to preach every Sunday. No one's going to listen to you. I feel like that happens sometimes anyway. I was told that advice once. Someone said, no, don't worry, no one's going to listen to your advice anyway. So you talk to people and you give them advice, and then they just go ahead and they do the opposite, I feel. I'm going to try reverse psychology, I think, and preach something else and then see what everyone does. But can you imagine being Jeremiah? How about Ezekiel? Look, if we think we have it bad, right? And if we think our God's will for our life right now, whether it's suffering through a job, right? Maybe you got a cranky boss. Maybe it's suffering in a marriage. Maybe it's suffering in school. Maybe it's suffering in a church. I don't know. Maybe you're suffering in Galilee, right? I mean, you're like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Think of Ezekiel, right? He had to lay on his side for 430 days. Just be thankful you don't have to do that. Or how about cooking your food over poo? Who wants? That's disgusting. But that's what Ezekiel had to do, but that was God's will for his life. We often, if we think, because in suffering, God is accomplishing another part of his will. When you and I are obedient, when things are difficult, and when we know we're going to face difficulties, the other part of his will is being accomplished, which is being conformed to the image of Christ, isn't it? A diamond is formed under heat and pressure. If you and I continue to remove ourselves from the pressures of our life because we don't think it's God's will for our life, we are never going to be the people God wants us to be in Christ. If we're just seeking comfort and things that make us happy, And as one philosopher says, those are the questions we ask. If I'm not comfortable, if I'm not happy, this must not be God's will for my life. And sometimes it's just the opposite, isn't it? I'm not saying that we look for suffering. Paul's not looking for suffering by no stretch of the imagination. But if that is part of the path that he has placed us on, then you and I need to be determined to follow it no matter what the cost, right? And that could be difficult. We're going through the book of Acts. And earlier on, he tells Paul, I will show him how much he must suffer for what? For my name's sake. God has a plan, sometimes through suffering, sometimes through difficulty. And that's hard. And believe me, like every sermon I'm preaching to myself, it's easier said than done. It's always easier said than done. But we know these principles are here. We see them all the time. And God wants us to see them. And as we go through the book of Acts, maybe suffering or difficulty for you, and sometimes for me, is just talking to people about Jesus Christ. How many people avoid that because they don't want to suffer? Okay, I'll be honest. Right? You don't want to say something to someone because they might get mad, and they might say something to you. They might get upset. You might lose a friendship. That's part of God's plan. Suffering in that, taking that step of faith, taking that chance, and taking that risk. Maybe it's staying in a job where you're at. Maybe it's pushing through your marriage. Maybe it's pushing through a relationship, whatever it may be. Maybe it's waiting on God's will to be revealed. Could be any one of those things. You and I need to be determined to stick with it no matter what. They're begging him to not go. And it is breaking Paul's heart. Third determination, the final determination, is we need to be determined to give it all if necessary. Verses 13 and 14. Then Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we all fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. Paul's heart's being tested once again. Matter of fact, it's breaking in. I think sometimes this is part of the suffering, is when people around us that we love and care about think that we're crazy and don't want us to do what we want to do, and we don't want to hurt those relationships. And I can only imagine how lonely Paul must have felt at this point. Everyone around him is telling him not to do this. And that's why so many commentators and Christians think that Paul was wrong. The idea of breaking his heart actually can mean changing his mind. Their emotions are making him rethink things, but he continues to be determined no matter what. It's an emotional suffering of rejecting the counsel of those we love and care about. Paul's response brings up the question for each one of us. How much are we willing to give? How much are we willing to give? Paul was ready, actually the word can mean willing, to give it all. You might have heard of this guy, Jimmy Donaldson. He's known online as Mr. Beast. He has become a benevolent YouTube star for his provocative brand of philanthropy. He gives away homes, cars, and private islands, and lots of cash. Before you get too excited, I'll keep reading. But usually it comes with a dark twist. Once he offered a man $10,000 a day for each day he was willing to live in a grocery store without leaving. I'd do that in a heartbeat. That'd be nothing. I'll see you at Hannaford. In March 2024, Mr. Beast announced Beast Games, and thousands of people jumped at the chance, posting on Reddit threads about the application process and waiting hopefully to be chosen for the contest. The prize? $5 million. Those familiar with Mr. Beast's content and the lengths in which those who appear in his videos must go in order to win, many expected outlandish and even potentially risky challenges. During the intake process this year, several contestants told the New York Times that they had been asked whether they'd be willing to be buried alive, travel to outer space, or be able to swim to shore ashore if thrown overboard from a boat in the middle of the ocean. This is what the contract reads. I understand that such activities may cause me, first word, death, illness, or serious bodily injury, including but not limited to exhaustion, dehydration, overexertion, burns, or heat stroke. In screenshots from the group chat, some of the contestants appeared unbothered by this. They had signed a contract saying that they were willing to die for $5 million. It's what we value, isn't it? And we know what a lot of people value. A lot of people value money. Who does Paul value? He values Jesus Christ, doesn't he? At the very end of this, there are two people in this verse. There's Paul, or us, and there's Jesus. I want you to think of that in your heads right now. Clear the room of everyone here. And just picture you and Jesus in this room, because, folks, in the end, he is the only one that matters. Paul, I believe, long ago, and it says in Galatians, Paul already gave up his life for Christ. He's crucified with Christ. Paul no longer lives. It's Christ who lives in him. And the life that Paul lives in the flesh, he lives by faith in the Son of God who did what? Who loved him and gave himself up for me. And because Jesus did that for Paul, Paul is ready and willing to do the same for Jesus Christ. Nothing or no one else matters in this life, folks. In the end, you and I are going to be accountable to him and only him. There are two wills always at play, our will and his will. Paul submits his will to God's will. And in doing so, is willing and ready to give it all if necessary. And if you want riches in heaven, that's the contract that you and I should sign. Being determined to submit our wills to his, and to give whatever it is that he asks of us. Martin Luther King said this: will is the whole man active. I cannot give up my will. I must exercise my will. I must will to obey. When God gives a command or a vision of truth, calling in your life, it's never a question of what will he do, but what will we do? To be successful in God's work is to fall in line with his will and to do it his way. This is what is success, all that is pleasing to him. I still believe, he says, in standing up for the truth of God is the greatest thing in this world. This is the end of life. The end of life is not to be happy. The end of life is not to achieve pleasure and avoid pain. The end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. Maybe some of you are wondering what happened to Bruce Olson. I kind of left you hanging there, didn't I? I like doing that. It keeps you listening until the end of the sermon. What happened with Bruchko? Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I have to back up. I'm going to keep you hanging even a little bit more. We're going to keep backing up at this point because I missed a key point. See, that's why I got to look down at my notes. It's the will of the Lord. Sorry. So two things that happen out of this, two things we can see from their example. So Paul can't be persuaded at this point, can he? And they come to this conclusion. They say what we all should say, the will of the Lord be done. Two applications from that. The church and the world needs more people like Paul. Because Paul was an example to them. Paul was absolutely determined to follow God's will no matter what the cost. Paul gave himself up for Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ gave himself up for Paul. We all need to see that. Because that's going to encourage other people to say exactly what they say. May the will of the Lord be done. Second is, we need to respect the convictions of other people who believe that they are following God's will for their life. Amen? That's what they do. And we're not good at that in the church sometimes. When it comes to things that are secondary or things like that, we just need to say, okay, you know what? That's the way God is leading you. I need to respect that. I'm going to love you. We're going to continue on in our relationship. And we're both going to try to follow God's will. And that's what these individuals do here. Now, of course, if it's against his revealed will, I said that before, we need to correct people. But if it's against things that we just are unaware of, we just don't know in our life, you need to respect the convictions of others. Now on to Bruce Olson. So what happened to Bruce Olson? So he's 19 years old when he left to travel to South America with a one-way plane ticket. Don't you just love that? One-way plane ticket, and guess how much cash in his pocket? $70. $70 in his pocket. A young person with a deep conviction and a deep burden for Colombia's hidden people, he set out in search of the Motolone Indians, a fierce primitive tribe that no white man had ever encountered and lived. This is who he sought after. His adventures in Colombia brought him face to face with them when he was shot through the leg with a 3-foot arrow. You can imagine at that point he's probably thinking, man, I long for the cold of Minnesota. In Minnesota, his dad was so upset with him that he locked him out of the house in freezing degree weather and made him walk a mile. That's how mad his parents were. And he's probably thinking, you know what? Ah, man, mom and dad. So he was brought to the camp as a prisoner to recover. During that time there, Bruce Olson, now known as Bruchko, won over the hearts of those tribal people. Today, the Motolone Indians are almost universally converted to Jesus Christ. In the past 30 years, when after his work, Olson has founded bilingual schools, medical clinics, and agricultural centers among the Motolone Indians. His Christ-like humility and work of service among them has earned him the status of a tribal member. Indian chiefs throughout the region representing 50 tribes and 500,000 tribe members all look to Olson with great awe and respect. He has become a friend of five Colombian presidents. He has spoken before the United Nations and has received educational awards from the Colombian government. All because he was determined to follow God's will for his life. Are you? Heavenly Father, we know how difficult it can be, Lord. We thank you for the examples that you have put before us, especially the example of Jesus Christ, who set his face like a flint to Jerusalem to endure the pain and suffering of the cross so that we can be in eternity with you, who did it for the joy that was to follow. Help us, Lord, to do the same. We can only do that through your Holy Spirit. Help us to have the close relationship with you. Guide us, empower us, and strengthen us. And Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.